try to make them all think I'm strong. Yeah, the face I keep pulling on says I ain't tired, but these tear-stained eyes ain't lying. It's hard, nobody told me life could be so hard. A weary soul with a worn-out heart that's barely beating. But every time I get that feeling,
church experience, or even the fact that the Christian life is just hard. I believe there's a misconception about Christian life. There's going to be, you know, I believe there's a lot, you know, there's a belief that life is going to be without burdens, temptations, or doubts, and just a blessing of wealth and just happiness after you accept the Lord, accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Which, you know, I believe that Christian life is farthest from the truth. The people even in this church that have been a Christian for a couple of years now can tell you that the Christian life is hard. But we're following, you know, that path. We're going to dive into the scripture and see how Paul knew this feeling too well. And Paul called this burden, a thorn in his flesh. Just to kind of give you a little bit of background on this verse, it all started from a plea to God to take away a thorn from his flesh. Paul did like a 180 with his life. He went from being the person that basically was killing Christians to, after he met Christ, to being the one that spread the gospel. So he went. He also wrote 13 books of the Bible. If Paul was alive today, he would be the person that would be the first person in the church and the last person to leave. One would feel God's love and presence just being around him. Paul would also be really honest in his messages when he would preach the church. Paul did everything that God asked him to do. Paul was still asking God to take away certain thorns from his life, like grief, demonic attacks, poor eyesight, persecution, several migraine headaches, or even lustful and sinful thoughts. Paul asked God three times, which is a figure of speech in Hebrew. I believe that he prayed to God over and over to take away the thorn from his side. And God replied to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will mostly boast all the more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I believe some people might think, why didn't just God take away the thorn from his side, Paul's flesh, instead of only replying with him with the statement, "My grace is sufficient for you"? I do think that God was not wrong by telling Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." We're going to look at two insights into this verse and see that this verse has and how we can apply it to our lives. The first insight that I see is that there's going to be difficult times in your life that God will say, "My grace is sufficient for you." Imagine being Paul, asking God to take away certain thorns from your side repeatedly. He's doing what God wants him to do. Some people would even consider him a perfect Christian. Understand that we cannot relate to Paul and all the thorns that was on his side. For example, let's just say you have a son or daughter that's amazing at basketball, softball, baseball, and they're working towards a scholarship for college. Your son or daughter ends up tearing their ACL playing that sport. They pray for God for healing, and God's reply is, "My grace is sufficient for you." Another example I would like to share is, say you're in an engagement, and after so long, you end up finding out either your partner ends up cheating on you, or they just call the engagement off. And you pray to God to heal your broken heart, and God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." The last example I want to share is that if you have an intellectual or even a physical disability, and you ask God that, "Please make me normal. Please make me like everyone else." And God's reply is, "My grace is sufficient for you." So how did Paul go from dealing with God, having to be, the fact that he was dealing with God, telling him, "My grace is sufficient for you," to being, "Therefore I will mostly boast and all the more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I'm weak, I am strong." I want you to know, church, that, you know, the reason or not because God was punishing Paul for some sin or does not love him, God has, you know, unconditional love for us and Paul. I wanted to share kind of like a personal experience. You know, growing up, I have an intellectual disability. I kind of shared that in my testimony. But growing up, having to realize that I was, you know, learning things on a, like, a slower level than everyone else, and having to just want to be normal, wanted to be the fact that I just wanted to, like, you know, be like everyone else, you know. I didn't get picked on or anything for my disability. Most of my classmates were, like, if the teacher asked, hey, can you help them, they would mostly be glad to help me. But it was just the fact that, you know, because it was around third grade, I still didn't know how to read. You know, it was hard for me to understand why do I have this disability and I cannot learn like everyone else. You know, when I met Christ, I had so much, you know, after I met Christ, I had so much joy and so much hope that I pushed myself. I had to rely on God's strength to realize I just need to push myself. I need to rely on God. And I did, and I graduated, you know, high school, I went to college. But it was the fact that I had to rely on God, you know, for that thorn in my flesh. So during those times, the thorns in your flesh moments, know that God will strengthen you through it. God's answer to Paul's, Paul's prayer was probably not the answer that Paul was expecting. God could have easily taken away, you know, the burden from Paul so that he could get relief from the thorn. But God chose to strengthen Paul to handle that burden. Example, I grew up in a small West Texas town. And, you know, almost every year, we knew, the guys and I knew, you know, before school starts, football is king in that town. So we would have 2-day practice, you know, and it was going, in West Texas, it's dry weather, so it's going to be hot, you know. So, and then the football coaches are also, they're strict, but they're also rough, like, so, you know, for them, they had to, you know, wear the equipment and also having to deal with the heat. Luckily, I was the football manager, so, but I also had my other duties as well. But, you know, these guys had to basically rely on the football coaches to make them better football players. They were, and, you know, and the coaches knew how to push them. But they also knew that the guys were capable of becoming better football players. You know, so God wanted Paul to come to him humbly, realizing that he cannot do this on his own strength. He needed to rely on God for God's own strength. You know, and sometimes I know that we can be stubborn at times, you know, thinking that we can do it on our own. God's grace can, you know, push us through that situation, that thorn in our flesh. And I feel like sometimes we feel like we failed or we make mistakes and we're outside of God's grace. That God will not accept us back. I don't want y'all to believe that lie that, you know, just because you fell or made mistakes that, you know, God will not accept you back. You know, God's grace is going to meet you where you're at. You know, and, you know, I just want to encourage that after accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, you know, having to just rely on His strength to push you through, just like Paul, you had to rely on His strength to push you through that thorn in your flesh. So, how powerful would it be knowing that even though you have that thorn in your flesh, that God is still doing amazing things in your life. So I want to show this clip from The Chosen. And it's basically Jesus having to talk to James about his disability.
Master.
Little James.
May I have a moment?
Of course.
I am. Forgive me, I am not always confident to speak.
Slow to speak is a very good quality.
Wanted to ask you a question.
Please?
You're sending us out with the ability to heal the sick and lame.
Yes,
that is what you said.
Yes.
So you're telling me that I have the ability to heal. Forgive me, I just find that difficult to imagine with my condition, which you haven't healed.
Do you want to be healed?
Yes. Of course, if that's possible.
I think you've seen enough to know it's possible.
Why haven't you?
Because I trust you.
What?
Little James. Precious little James, I need you to listen to me very carefully, because what I'm going to say defines your whole life to this point and will define the rest of your life. Do you understand? In the Father's will, I could heal you right now. And you'd have a good story to tell, yes?
That you do miracles.
That's a good story. But there are already dozens who can tell that story. And there will be hundreds more. Even thousands. But think of the story that you have. Especially in this journey to come. If I don't heal you. To know how to proclaim that you still praise God in spite of this. To know how to focus on all that matters, so much more than the body. To show people that you can be patient with your suffering here on earth because you know you'll spend eternity with no suffering. Not everyone can understand that. How many people do you think the Father and I trust this with? Not many.
So much more.
So much more what?
I don't know. Stronger? Better at this?
James, I love you. But I don't want to hear that ever again.
I know how easy it is to say the Song of David. That I fearfully and wonderfully made. But it doesn't make this any easier. And it is cruel. It doesn't make me feel like any less of a burden.
A burden? First of all, it is far easier to deal with your slow walking than it is to deal with Simon's temper.
Trust me.
Are you fast? Do you look impressive when you walk? Maybe not. But these are things the Father doesn't care about. You are going to do more for me than most people ever dream. So many people need healing in order to believe in me. Or they need healing because their hearts are so sick. That doesn't apply to you. And many are healed or not healed because the Father in heaven has a plan for them which may be a mystery. And we remember what Job said. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you pass from this earth, and you meet your Father in heaven, where Isaiah promises you will leap like a deer, your reward will be great. So hold on a little longer. And when you discover yourself finding true strength because of your weakness, and when you do great things in my name, in spite of this, the impact will last for generations. Do you understand?
Thank you, Master.
A man like you, healing others. Oh, what a sight. I can't wait to hear your stories when you return.
Shalom, my son.
Shalom.
And James. Remember, you will be healed. It's only a matter of time.
Invitation, you need prayer or you want to start calling into ministry?